We are in Ephesians 5, talking about God explains marriage. It's kind of interesting, but God waits till later on in time to tell more of what marriage is all about. Paul calls it a mystery, something that was hidden and now has been revealed. It was in God's mind from the very beginning. He just explains it to us later on. Anyway, let's pray, and then I want to stand up and read the scripture. We're only going to cover it in general today, but I do like the fact that we're kind of getting back into the habit of reading the Word of God out loud together. So let's pray, and then we will stand and read some verses out of Ephesians 5. If you would, please, let's stand. We will be reading what is in your notes. I also have it up here. So either way, whatever works for you. But it's Ephesians 5, 22-33. I honestly don't know if next week will be the last week or if I'll break it up into more parts where it might even be the whole month of March. I don't know. I was telling Jane yesterday, there's so much here that I honestly didn't even know where to start. I mean, and it's not something I haven't preached on before, but there's just so much here. But let's just read this. There's three slides with the verses on it, or it's in front of you there. And we want to read it out loud together, please. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Please be seated. I'll tell you right now, we will not even get into specific responsibilities of the wife and the husband. We will briefly mention them on one point. But we are going to make some preliminary or general observations in Ephesians chapter 5. And we're kind of covering the whole passage from a high altitude, just looking just at how God approaches things and all this. So there's six preliminary observations. I put them in a generic form, and I went back. I've reworded these like three times now to be a little more personal. And I'm doing so because if you're married, this relates to you very much directly. And if you're not married, and there's a good chance you will be. And if you will never be married, these are still things that are true and that you need to encourage people who are married to reflect upon, okay? There's a huge amount of truth in this passage that's really almost inexhaustible. But we will approach this from looking at six observations here. Number one here, my marriage role is based upon my gender. The Bible directs commands both to the wives and to the husbands. Those are genders. Okay? In fact, the word wife is also the word woman. The word husband is also the word man. Okay? They're not genderless. A woman is also a wife. A man is also a husband in a marriage relationship. That's not changed at all. We looked at last week, Genesis 1 through 3, that very much God made a male and God made a female. That has not changed all the way through to Ephesians chapter 5. Okay? My marriage role is based upon my gender. Now, unlike what we pointed out last week, where Facebook now has 50-some gender options, which is just mind-boggling, but it shows you how confused we are in our day. There are only two genders. You're either a male or you are a female. It's not how you feel. It is physiological. It's what you are physically, male or female. Okay? And based upon whether you were a man or a woman, God defined your role based upon that. Okay? I know it might sound obvious to you, but it is the least obvious thing in our culture today. I don't know if you noticed the Chevy commercial. If any of you have watched any of the Olympics at all, there's a Chevy commercial that says family has not changed, but the way family looks like has changed. And it shows you every form of marriage relationship, including same-sex marriage, through that process. You may have caught it, you may have not. But I'm telling you, that is not true. Family is defined by God, and it starts with a male and a female, a man and a woman. And marriage is defined by God, and He specifically assigns responsibilities based upon whether you are a man or whether you are a woman. Two sub-points here. Roles are not chosen by us. If you are a man, you are assigned particular responsibilities. We talked about that last week in the Garden of Eden. God put Adam in the garden. He gave him a place and He gave him the means to provide for his family before He gave him a wife, right? And then He gave him spiritual responsibility before He ever gave him a wife. So there's that idea, a place, the ability to provide, and if you will, a purpose, a life calling, but it's involved with the providing of one's family. And also, spiritual responsibility. That assignment is on the back of the man, the responsibility of the man. Roles are not chosen by us any more than your gender is chosen by you. Okay? Whatever you are, the Bible assigns your responsibility based upon your gender. Roles are not chosen by us. We do not choose whether we want to be a husband or a wife. That is determined by our gender. Subpoint number two, and I think the church has totally lost this, roles are not interchangeable. If the husband is the provider and the spiritually responsible one, that does not change. That is not up to us to say. We decide to flip that around. We decide to share that. We decide to redefine what God has said. That is not interchangeable. Roles are not interchangeable. It doesn't say whoever wants to be the wife, this is your responsibility. No, it says wives, this is your responsibility. It says husbands, this is your responsibility. Okay? Roles are not interchangeable. And I honestly believe the church has gotten itself in a whole lot of trouble because roles have been confused and tried to be interchanged. And then discomforts the family. It goofs up the family because then all of the responsibilities toward kids and all of that are goofed up as well. Okay? And my goal is not to offend you or hurt you if you're not in this situation at all. I honestly am saying that from the depths of my heart. But if mom is away, mom is not being mom. If mom is away, if wife is away, wife isn't being wife, if that makes sense. And we talked about that last week. If the wife is there to help her husband, if she is away, she's not doing what is needed to help her husband. Okay? She is not assisting him at being successful. Therefore, he cannot be successful, and therefore their home cannot be successful, because that is God's design. That is God's plan. And it takes all of that. God is not being mean. He's telling you how he designed it to work. Okay, he's not being legalistic to say he doesn't want you to be happy. He's telling you what's involved in being happy. Because he's the one that designed happy. Okay? So that whole idea, my marriage role is based upon my gender. It's not for me to choose. And it's not interchangeable. If we start confusing the matter, then it goes against what God planned. And therefore, listen to me closely, it will not work. And the challenge that we have in our families is when we get things confused and we still want it to work. That's like driving your car backwards. You can maybe get around to some degree, but it's not the way it's intended to work. You don't want your hoods up and the doors open either. And we want our family car to run even though we're not operating it in a way that God had designed it to be. Is that fair to say? Is that reasonable to say that God designed marriage, God designed the family, and he says this is the way it's supposed to be, and if we ignore it, why would we expect things to work as they're supposed to if we don't follow the instructions in the way he designed it to be? We're using it wrongly. Anyone here try to drive a nail with a screwdriver before? Come on, guys. I know some of you have. Yes, I have too, right? It doesn't work well. I mean, you beat the screwdriver handle to death, and the screw is, or the nail doesn't really go in that well. Okay, it's not meant to be that way. My marriage role is based upon my gender, and we need as individuals to embrace that. We are men, as we talked about last week. We are the providers. We are the ones that provide the place for our family. We provide the food and clothing, all for our family, and we're the ones that provide the spiritual leadership for our family. That goes all the way back to Genesis 1 and 2. And it didn't change in Genesis 3 after the fall. It just made it harder. From the sweat of your brow, you'll bring forth food, right? It didn't make it any easier, but it didn't change that responsibility. And then the wife we talked about last week is still a mom and still a wife. It's just more difficult. So my marriage role is based upon my gender. Okay? And again, that's as clear as crystal in the Bible. So the only way you can get away from that is to ignore what the Bible clearly says. Okay? It's not really an argument all the way through Scripture. It's only an argument when you ignore Scripture. Okay? Number two. My marriage role is commanded. There's two commands in these verses, 22 to 33, okay? There's two commands. One is either there or it's implied. Verse 21 of chapter 5, which isn't in your notes, it says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. One Greek text doesn't have a verb for the wives. It just says, wives, to your own husbands, as to the Lord. Another text actually has the command in there, and that says, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Either way, the concept is still there. It's still a command, okay? Same with the husband, it's there. It's love your wives, okay? So both of those are commands, not options, okay? And that's the subpoint underneath there. My responsibility as either a wife or a husband is not an option. Wives submitting to their husbands is not an option. And we'll talk about this more probably as we develop it, at least in another week, maybe in a couple weeks as we go through these. But it is fascinating and brilliant that it's a command. It's what makes marriage work. And we'll probably hit on that just a little more as we go today, but we'll hit on it more in subsequent weeks as well. My responsibility is not an option. And listen to this. It's not something I can choose to do or not. If I choose not to do it, that is called what? Disobedience, because God has told me to do that. Okay? Here's the next one. My responsibility is not a feeling. And you could say it this way, it's not based on feeling. You don't do this, either submitting or loving, because you feel like it. And that is, again, another brilliant thing about what God said. He doesn't say you have to feel like it. Okay? Submitting is not something based upon feeling. Loving is not something based upon feeling. I know I'm probably rocking some of your boats here, but love, scripturally speaking, is not something you feel. There might be feelings that accompany it, but biblical love is action. It's care. Okay? So, my marriage role is commanded. My responsibility is not an option, and my responsibility is not a feeling or based upon a feeling. You don't have to feel loving to love. And the person that you are commanded to love does not have to be lovable. We'll talk about that a little more in a minute. But submitting, you don't have to feel like submitting to follow the person that you are commanded to submit to. Okay? It's not something that you feel like doing, and it cannot be based on feeling. It's a command, and that, again, is strategic because you do not have to feel like this to obey it. Okay? Either loving or submitting. So my marriage role is commanded. Ready for point number three? We might get out of here before noon. Okay, that's a joke. My marriage role is without conditions. What is a condition? If is a condition. I will submit if. As soon as we put if in the sentence, we have missed point number two. And we have also missed what is missing, which I'll explain in a minute. Okay? Because God doesn't place conditions in the list at all. It doesn't say, wives, submit to your husbands if. And it doesn't say, husbands, love your wives. What? Help me out here. If. Those don't exist. There are no conditions. You submit to your husbands. Wives, husbands, you love your wives. Period. Okay? We miss what is missing here, okay? And that's what gets us in trouble, I think, too. When is missing? I say, I will submit when, or not until, he or she does this. I will submit when he gets to this point. I will love her when she gets to this point. That is not there. There is no such condition. You men, you can love your wives right now. Wives, you can submit to your husbands right now. They're unconditional, if you will. I didn't put unconditional because I believe there are times if your husband is beating you, I believe that you don't necessarily have to sit there and take that. Okay, I think there's cause for protection and stuff like that. But generally speaking, and I would say broadly speaking, we aren't waiting for when something happens in our marriage to do what we're supposed to do what we're commanded to do. We're not saying not until he or she does this, reaches this point, reaches this plateau, reaches this assessment that I believe he or she needs to be before I perform this command that God has given me. That does not exist in the text. The second subpoint here, unless is not there either. The when I see is, well, when they get up to this point. The unless is not there either. It's missing as well, and it's up until, or until they cross this line. Okay? When he starts throwing his underwear behind the bathroom door, that is where I draw the line. No one laughed. This must be very serious. When she does this, that's when I will stop loving. Okay? That is missing in the text. Okay? Both of those are missing. There's no, when you reach this point, then do this. And there's no, if he or she gets to this point, then you can stop doing this. It's without conditions in the text. It's not intended to be conditional in that way. This is a biblical marriage. It's not a conditional marriage based upon what you feel or what you think as your own assessment. God has already given you that parameter here, and we won't get to it this much this week, but it says, wives, submit to your husbands. What's the measure there? As to the Lord, even. And not to leave the guys out, because he's supposed to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Those are like huge targets to aim for. Both of those. Submitting to your husband as to the Lord. And there's no conditions there. Loving your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And there are no conditions there. And there are no when she reaches this point or until he does this. My marriage role is without conditions. And you see that in Ephesians 5. There are no whens, there are no unlesses, there are no ifs. Okay? Number 4. My marriage role focuses on my actions toward my spouse. You get this? You chewing on this a little bit? And I don't know, this, I probably knew this, it just kind of jumped out at me as I tried to think of what are things as I back up and look about this text rather than what the text is particularly, right? My marriage role focuses on my actions. What's the cause of most problems in marriage, most likely? Focusing on whose actions? The other person's actions, right? What they didn't do, or what they should do, or what they did do and shouldn't have, right? And it's freeing, at least from an intellectual standpoint, I'll say this. I haven't arrived. But it's freeing to know that you can do this apart from your spouse. God doesn't make your spouse the focus. Your focus is what you are to be doing, not what your spouse is to be doing. And it's interesting to note that you can kind of understand how that would make a marriage work better. Because if you are looking at what you were supposed to do, it probably, to a great extent, will override the faults of the other person. And again, we already said it's not conditional anyway. But if you're focusing on what you're supposed to be doing, that's your focus. Okay? It's not, well, she doesn't do this, 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 and this, or he doesn't do this, and this, or he does this, this. That isn't your focus. Your focus is, what am I supposed to do? What has God told me to do in my marriage? As a wife or a husband, that is your focus. That is what you're to be doing. And I guess I have a sub-point there. I'm to focus on what I am to be doing. Right? Whether it's submitting or whether it's loving. All right? We're 2/3 done already. It's almost Ben's birthday again. You know what I'm saying? We're going right pretty fast here. Number 5. I think this is built in as well. My marriage role assumes an imperfect spouse. Okay? Before I give you the 2 points here, the fact that a wife has to be commanded to what? To submit to her husband assumes what? A disagreement at the very least, or she thinks that he's not really easy to follow, maybe, at least all the time, right? Does that make sense? If you have to command someone, it must not be something that comes automatically, right? You have to work at it. It assumes then, and Paul has picked up on something we've talked about before, submission, as we've said many times, assumes that it automatically assumes that there's disagreement. Because if you're going the same direction, there's no need to submit. Because you both agree. Submission is needed when you want to go this way and he wants to go that way, right? Submission assumes that there's a difference. I don't claim to be able to fully explain it, but even in the Godhead, Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. If it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Submission assumes, wives, that you do not agree with your husband. You could say you could think it's the wrong direction. You can say that he's just not smart enough to make the right decision, or he doesn't agree with you, or whatever the case might be. Are those conditions, by the way? They are. If you say, I'll submit as long as you agree with me, number one, that's not submission. What is that? That's him submitting to you. That's upside down, actually. Okay, now, husbands should listen to their wives. I believe that. I happen to be married to a very smart woman. Okay? And I mean that. But, before God, as Adam was assigned spiritual responsibility in the garden before Eve was created, you are responsible to God to make a decision. And then you need to go with that decision, right? That's the responsibility that's assigned there. That's a submission assumes that there's disagreement. That I've put it this way before. Submission is saying, at the very least, if I was in charge, I would do it differently. I would do it differently. I would do something else. I wouldn't do it at all, potentially. But submission assumes that if you were in charge, you would go a different direction. That is what submission is. And you're following your leader anyway, which we'll get to right now. On the same side with the husband is commanded to love his wife. We just talked about imperfect spouses, right? Why would a husband have to be commanded to love his wife? Or if I can use the term, which I think is probably almost the more accurate term, scripturally speaking, care for your wife. She could pretend, at times, she's imperfect, and she sometimes is not lovable. She at times, it's not always automatic. It's not always, hey, this is easy to do. Just like it's hard at times for a wife to follow her husband, because she would do it a different way if she was in charge, and sometimes it just seems to be totally off, right? In the same way, sometimes it's hard for the husband to love his wife, right? To care for her. Part of that is probably selfishness on his own part. There's a lot of adult children in marriage now where the husband just does what he wants. The wife kind of has another teenager perpetually in the house forever and ever. And that's totally wrong, totally unbiblical, right? But also, there are times when the woman is hard to get along with, to use Paul's terms. She's not lovable. By the way, neither imperfect spouse is any cause for not doing what God has commanded us, because there are no what? Ifs, right? Right? It assumes that there's imperfection in both. And by the way, God knew that before he ever assigned Ephesians 5 to us. He knew that your spouse would be imperfect, and he still commanded you to follow him, to submit to him. He knew that your wife is imperfect, and he still commanded you to love her. Okay? No surprise to God. This is after the fall, right? He knew what was up. Let me give you two sub-points here. My marriage role assumes an imperfect spouse. Wife, your husband needs you to submit anyway. That is the plan of God. There is no condition. It is a command. It is not a choice. Right? That is I would say, if I were to describe Christian marriage in my small brain in a simple way, it's do what you're supposed to do anyway. Right? As a husband or wife. That's exactly what God is talking about here. You do what you're supposed to anyway. Wife, your husband needs you to submit anyway, because that's the way marriage can work. That's the way it's the only way it can work. He needs you to follow him, even though if you were in charge, you would do it differently. And we'll say the same thing with the husband. Husband, your wife needs unconditional love. And by the way, that's the term agape. It's this unconditional love. And we'll explain that more as we get into that text at another time. Husband, your wife needs unconditional love anyway. Okay? Even when she's not being lovable. Even when you don't feel like loving her. Caring for her, being kind to her. That's all built in. That's the way God makes Christian marriage work. He takes out the conditions. He gives specific assignments to the man and the woman. He gives commands that are not our choice and not based upon feeling. He takes all the ifs out. And he says, you're going to have a sin-impacted spouse, but you need to do this anyway. You need to follow your husband anyway, and you need to love your wife anyway. Okay? That's the nature of a Christian marriage. The last point here for today. My marriage role is built upon a spiritual relationship. This is more, if you will, than God has ever said before about marriage. He goes into deep detail, and it's almost hard to get totally in our brains, because it's like looking at two things at once. But he says, my marriage role is built upon a spiritual relationship. If you're a woman, your marriage role is built upon the church's relationship to Jesus. How we are supposed to, as a church, as an assembly of believers, how we are supposed to respond to Jesus. Are we supposed to respond conditionally to Jesus? Do we take what Jesus commands us as optional? It's a perfect picture. And if we're a man, the spiritual relationship that is pictured, or it's based on, marriage is based upon this, is the love that Jesus has for the church. Both of those picture a part of that relationship, the church toward Jesus or Jesus toward the church. Okay? And it makes it marriage a lot more spiritually important. than I think we give it credit for often. Even though many of us have grown up hearing this over and over, I don't know if it really sinks in. Okay? Because our marriage is supposed to picture, in some, I know, faulty way, because there's two sinners trying to picture something that's sinless to some degree, but it's still there. We're supposed to picture that. That is our target. That is our model. That is our definition, ultimately, of marriage. My role is based upon Christ and the church. That relationship. So there's something bigger than just me and my feelings and what I think. Marriage, when God designed marriage at the very beginning, I believe that he had this concept in mind. I don't think it was something he thought up later. He just waited to reveal it. There's something called progressive revelation where God tells us a little and tells us a little more and tells us a little more. And this is what Paul says is a great mystery. But I speak of Christ in the church, he says, and I think verse 32, that idea that marriage is the picture of Jesus in the church. And so therefore, it's not something just between you and your wife or you and your husband. There's more there. It's weightier than you even ever thought up until now. And marriage is a big deal anyway. All right? And here's the second subpoint here. My role is to broadcast good news by example. Now, that doesn't mean it relieves us from telling the old story, as Ethan challenged us this morning with. But marriage should picture, in some imperfect way, what God is doing in the church and what the church, how the church is responding to God. That is a huge thing. That is a big deal. My marriage role is built upon a spiritual relationship, and that relationship is Christ and the church. And both the man and the woman, both the husband and the wife, are assigned specific responsibilities to reflect that picture. Okay? Let me review these briefly. A review of six preliminary observations. And again, we haven't really dissected anything in the text yet. We're just looking at the higher altitude observations we can make about the passage itself. Number one, my marriage role is based upon my gender. It's a gender assignment. And that's not a bad thing. That's God's perfect plan before the fall, even, was one male and one female, and each has separate and wonderful functions. Number two, my marriage role is commanded. It's not by choice, and it's not based upon feeling at all. Okay? Number three, my marriage role is without conditions. There's no when or unless. Or if you want to summarize it this way, there's no ifs. Too often we make the little things conditions, and it destroys our marriage. Number four, my marriage role focuses on my actions toward my spouse. We are not focusing on our spouse's actions, what they should be doing, but they're not. We're focusing on what we are to be doing, what God has commanded me as a husband, or what God has commanded a woman as a wife to focus on, right? And I honestly believe it. You can see the wisdom and brilliance of God in this, because it removes issues, because it puts the responsibility on the individual to be responsible for himself or herself, and it makes that the focus. It's just wonderful. I think it's great. Number five, my marriage role assumes an imperfect spouse. God planned this knowing that sin has infected the world. He knew, wives, that you would have a sinful husband. That doesn't mean he doesn't pursue God. Hopefully he does. But he needs you to follow him anyway. Okay? even though he doesn't measure up. Because as soon as you say he's sinful, that means he is not perfect, and therefore you're following an imperfect person all of your life. And husbands, in the same way, your wife is descended from Adam and Eve, just like you are. She's a sinner as well. And there will be things about her that you will not love, you will not like. She will not be lovely all of the time to you. What she does, what she says, you know, whatever. She might not measure up to your standard, just like you don't measure up to hers. Okay? But you need to love her anyway. And then number six, my marriage role is built upon a spiritual relationship. We will get into this more, but understand that marriage is bigger than two people. Marriage is intended to be built upon the relationship that is reflected by the church and Jesus, and it is to reflect that very relationship, obviously, as time goes on and we grow and change for the honor and glory of the Lord. Next week, we'll see where we go from here. Again, I don't know how many studies we'll end up in Ephesians 5, but there's a lot here, but we'll see.